Lisa Lanier standing by. Oh, Biggie, an apology. I wasn't strong enough a moment ago. B.B. Shea went into the halls here and grabbed another half dozen mini donuts. And before I could tell Biggie, just as I shouted, you're stronger than that, he wasn't.
That was a delicious 45 calories.
Yeah, you barely have to chew them.
You know, when you say 45 and 45 calories, they do add up eventually.
No, they don't.
Yeah. And then I said to B.B. Shea, you're strong. No, no, it was two.
I noticed you're really getting on me for one. He's eating eight.
I told him. You didn't hear, your door closed. And I said, you're stronger than that. And B.B. Shea said, nah, I'm not stronger than that. I'm not even close to stronger than that. And down he went. But I'm your accountability buddy. I don't care what happens to him.
True.
It doesn't matter about him. You're the guy I'm with every day. I got to keep you healthy. I got to keep you that lean, mean machine you are so that you're in here producing your tail off as you've been this whole week and this whole day.
Tell Lisa how you treated a cupcake last night.
Lisa.
No.
Listen. I don't know. Listen, Lisa, I will just say this. Yesterday was my birthday. All right, fine. That's it. All right. It was my birthday.
Her reaction is perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Happy birthday. No,
yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We had cupcakes, and I told Chris Dim we had a...
Minis or fulls?
Full red velvet with a cream cheese icing. Mm. And I told Chris Dim I was only going to eat a little bit of the icing because I'm on a nutrition plan. And he said, so you're going to perform cake-a-lingus on it. The problem
was... I'm not proud of it, Lisa, but I said it.
And Biggie said, have someone take video of you performing cake-a-lingus on the cupcake. And the problem was, as we started, I got into the icing, and I couldn't control myself. And before I knew it, I ate all of it, the whole thing. I ate the whole thing. So I immediately scheduled a time at the gym today. I usually take Fridays off. I refused to do it. B.B. Shea just asked me what my last meal would be if I were on death row. And I said, Royal Feast from Sir Pizza with extra tomato sauce, a ton of chicken and pickles, both sandwich and nuggets, and then some chocolate dessert I'd have to think about for a while. So I asked him, and he had like 15 items all ready to go.
Oh, yeah. He was loaded.
And then he told me, I only ask you, so you'd ask me.
That's crafty.
Very crafty. That's how he does.
You fell right into the trap.
I don't know that I can.
I like steak. I like chicken.
I did.
What I like is neither of you were even thinking of why you might be on death row.
I didn't even think about that. That's beside the point. I can't be your accountability buddy. You're too crafty with that kind of thing.
It may be unfair to put Lisa on the spot, but she is a foodie. So I'm sure she has some great thoughts about food.
You know, in fact, this is about foodies too. P1, Casey Steve said, you guys were just talking about Leo Zamperini. And, you know, he had to eat like...
Louis or Leo?
It's Louis. He said Leo. It's Louis. Yeah. Louis Zamperini. They had to eat like when an albatross would land on their raft, they'd have to kill it and eat it raw. They'd snap its neck and eat it. That's how 43 days.
When they would land on the boat, they'd try to catch them.
Yeah, 43 days on the open ocean. So KCC says, Steve says, if the big foodies were lost at sea, who'd eat who first?
You're going to be shocked by this. We just covered this.
We just covered it on your podcast.
It'd be me. I'm slowest.
Yes. You'd be first.
Yeah. We pointed at him immediately.
Well, you got to keep the raft buoyant.
Lisa, what's your last meal of choice? What would you have?
Well, you know, because I have celiac disease and I cannot have wheat, I would eat all kinds of, because it's not going to matter.
Yeah, right.
It takes about 4 hours for it to hit me and make me really sick.
Perfect.
And so I would eat like cake. I would eat, you know, like, you know, big nasty, you know, for like fried sandwiches like Popeyes and stuff I can't have. That's I would have it.
Yeah, because
well played.
But then if you get a stay from the governor, you're gonna have a hell of a time.
then I'll be in bad shape.
Great news, Lisa. The governor called.
Oh God.
We have great news.
hold my hair while I vomit. Okay.
That's right. Now, what do you think about? What are your thoughts? Because O.J. Simpson just passed away. On the job the prosecuting attorneys did in the O.J. trial now 30 years ago. I mean, Marsha Clark gets beat up for her handling of this case and the fact that they had him try on the glove and all of those things. Would you have done things differently if you had been prosecuting O.J. Simpson?
You know, it's really easy to look back and say, oh, you know, I would have done things differently. For sure, the glove thing was a fiasco, and, you know, we all know that in hindsight. Mm-hmm. You know, but it was a tough trial. It was, you know, huge publicity. Yeah, I think they made some missteps. And, you know, it's a sort of an example of, especially in the past, it's not as much so today, but I think it still holds true, is that, you know, celebrities can get away with stuff. I mean, he was likable, mm-hmm. and, you know, and his team just did a much better job than the prosecution.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a great team. He had the dream team.
So if you're rich and you're a celebrity, mm-hmm. you can get away with stuff, at least at that time, and probably still today.
Yeah, probably still today, yeah.
And Lisa, obviously every trial is different, but do you know why it took so long for the OJ case to go to the jury and all that testimony?
Well, it was just, you know, it was because it was a high-profile murder trial with lots of witnesses and lots of evidence. I mean, those can drag on. You know, it's and his potentially, you know, his life was at stake. You know, mm-hmm. he was his freedom, and you know, you take that very seriously in the criminal justice system, and so those trials can be quite lengthy, especially where, you know, there was just a ton of forensic evidence to break down. There was, and that's where sometimes they lose the jury with that stuff too, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes the science of it just gets so boring. You know,
yeah.
I've seen in med mal trials, when you get too deep in the science, I've seen jurors fall flat out asleep, you know, like snoring, head back, you know.
Well,
med mal. Death.
That's,
don't get on that jury.
That's a fact. I remember when they went into the DNA evidence, that was the most boring. The blood DNA. So boring.
And the most important part.
Yeah. And it was so boring. I remember watching that going, I don't need to watch this. It was so boring.
Where's Cato?
Yeah.
Where's that dumb blonde?
That's what we need. Jeez. You know, we were talking earlier this week about celebrities and getting away with stuff. And I want your opinion on this as well. Of course, Morgan Wallen was just charged with 3 felonies for throwing a chair off the top, the 6th floor top of a bar in Nashville called Chiefs. And a couple of questions about it. One, do you think this eventually will get knocked down to misdemeanors, as tends to happen with rich celebrities that we just talked about? Or could he really do some jail time here? How would you approach it if you were Morgan Wallen's attorney?
Yeah, well, so they're for sure going to try to enter a plea agreement and get it down to some kind of probation type deal. Because, you know, it was first reported that these 3 felonies that he's charged with, it was in all over the media. He could do 6 years for each count. Mm-hmm. It's actually 15 years for each count that he could send us to. And his big mistake here, aside from, you know, the stupidity of throwing the chair off of a six stories, he could have really smashed somebody down there. I mean, killed him.
Yeah, of course.
But his biggest mistake was that he threw the chair down less than a yard from a group of police officers. Like, he narrowed it.
Yeah. Oh, was it that close?
Yeah, that close?
Yeah, okay. Said it was so few feet that they couldn't call it yards away. They called it feet away from a group of police officers. And let me tell you, you know, you want to get arrested right quick, you know, do something like that to a bunch of police officers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no kidding, right.
Yeah, I mean, it was just really, and there was, you know, it was the night of the CMT Awards, and so it was, you know, it was crowded. It was a, you know, very popular area in Nashville. Even at that late hour, it was like, I think like 10:50 or something. People, it had just gotten over, mm-hmm. and people were hitting the bars. So there were a lot of, you know, passersby on the street and stuff. So he could have really hurt somebody, and that's the whole thing. They've charged him with assault with a deadly weapon, which anything you drop off of a 6-story, you know, building just about could be a deadly weapon. So mm-hmm. What he'll have to do, you know, he got kicked out of Kid Rock's bar a few weeks ago, right, or a few months ago, mm-hmm. and he's been in trouble here and there. I think, you know, he'll at some point play the I have a problem and I'm going to go get treatment card, and that usually gets celebrities out of at least one serious crime.
Yeah, that's what Biggie was saying he would mm-hmm. do. So, bottom line, do you see him serving any jail time for this?
I mean, you know, it could happen because of the stupidity factor of doing it right by those cops, and those cops being so mad.
Right.
And he was so arrogant. He was laughing and smiling as he was being handcuffed, as he was put into the squad car, and in his mugshot.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a jerk, you know. And so I think that doesn't help his case any. But,
right.
You know, I mean, the best thing he could have done would have been like, oh, my gosh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you were standing down there. You know, what can I do? You know,
mm-hmm.
but instead he was like, you know, look at me, I'm so cute and funny and whatever, you know.
Well.
And, yeah, so it was, and he was drunk, I'm sure. I mean, you know, how drunk was he?
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
For the record, by the way, Lisa, I'm going to have to take issue with your mugshot note there. I've always recommended smiling in your mugshot.
He does say
because
that.
If you look like a mess, a drunken mess,
yep,
they'll hold it against you forever.
Years from now, I mean,
now it's just another smiling photo.
We cite Paul Rubens and Nick Nolte,
boom,
the two
one and one A
bad mugshot.
Yeah, I mean, for the actual mugshot itself, you don't have to look menacing or anything. But the cops said he was really obnoxious the whole time, like, you know, through the booking, and you just don't want to. you don't want to be like that. Like, treat it like it's funny and it's a game. No, no, no. After you've almost, you know, crushed some officers with a chair, not smart.
Some reporters asked some folks in Nashville, man on the street interviews, what do you think about Morgan Wallen? They took him to task.
I think it's great, you know. It's cool that we have a real rock star in country music.
It's my guy.
Your guy?
Everybody does dumb things every now and then.
Crazy stuff happens here all the time. I'm not surprised, to be honest.
I think the fans probably like him more, to be honest.
I like this mugshot. I don't know. He was smiling.
As long as he didn't hurt nobody.
Where everybody gets drunk in Nashville and does stupid stuff.
No, I think I'm all for it. I think all the fans are for it, too. He's not a real, you know, PR machine.
All publicity is good publicity. Y'all are talking about it right now, and you're talking to me about it, so...
Yeah, he's definitely crazy as hell, but he makes good music. He'll always be popular.
He's trying to be a rock star. Why not?
Sounds like you're going to throw the book at him. At least I have.
Those are his peers.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris Tim said, there's your jury.
There's your jury. There's some quality puns right there.
Man. If
it is a reference to a movie, a classic movie. Just forget it. It's Nashville. Forget
that's,
it, Jake.
That's how it is. That's right.
And you know, the bad thing is, the one guy that said about the music part is so right, because all I've done this week now is listen to Morgan Wallen.
Well, Morgan Wallen. Mm-hmm. It just reminds you that he's there and he's such a great musician. Now, overarching theme to this, let me ask your opinion on this, Lisa. I said I feel like that there really should be more. I think the laws should allow that he gets a real punishment out of this, that he not be able to say, oh, I have a problem and serve, you know, 6 months. Yeah, let's say he does something. You're throwing a chair off the roof of a building. I think you do like 5 years in prison. And then we got on to talking about, like, let's say you're speeding at 95 miles per hour. It shouldn't be a thing. And I've done this. I've played the game where I've gotten lawyers to handle it. You pay a few hundred dollars, you're out of it. What if, do you think the world would be, or the country would be a better place, is if you knew, hey, I'm speeding 95 and a 65, I'm going to lose my license and do a year in jail. Do you think that would end speeding?
I mean, it would certainly be a stronger deterrent than what we have in place right now, which is if you can afford to pay to get out of it.
Right.
You know, you get basically, most counties, you get three shots, you know, three big time speeding tickets.
Yeah.
You know, that you can get out of before you really face any serious consequences.
I just feel like,
how many do you have, Kelly?
I can't say. My attorney told me not to speak about this.
Three strikes.
And I'm in different counties now. I go to different counties. Ah. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, I just feel like if I was told, hey, if you're caught speeding, you're going to do a year in jail, I'm like, well, I'm on speed. You know, I would not speed at that point. But then,
that's technically unconstitutional punishment. That's cruel and unusual.
Well,
yeah, I don't think you do. But you could say the license revocation if it's a certain, especially if it's a certain number of miles over, and that would be it'd be a stronger deterrent for sure. But
it doesn't stop anybody.
People still drive without a license.
You know, when you read arrest reports, how many people are driving without license?
All the time.
All the time.
I'm sure a lot of people drive without a license.
Well, it should be this. It should be, look, if you're caught speeding at a certain amount over the speed limit, you lose your license. If you're caught driving without a license, you do your jail time. You know, then it's a big deterrent. But they're never going to go to that.
You don't have the jail space.
They won't do it. And then someone, actually, we had a caller call in and say he thought, and I want your opinion on this, Lisa, because I was dead set against it. They said the more money you make, the higher the fine when you speed. For instance, whatever your net worth is, you pay like 1% or 2% of your net worth, and that's the speeding ticket. And I said, oh, no, we can't go to that. We cannot do
that. No, I don't like that at all.
Well, then Chris Dim said, then the poors would just drive out of control. You know, it wouldn't matter. B.B. Shane be going 150 miles. What does he care?
I don't make anything.
You don't make any money. You'd
can't,
be going
you
150
can't take
miles
nothing.
Of course. Exactly. You'd be going fast all the time. This story we talked about earlier in the week as well, and I know this family has got to have a great case. A woman named Lisa Monk from College Station, Texas, in 2022 went in for what she thought were kidney stones to a doctor in a hospital. She's 39 years old. They went in to remove the kidney stones, and there was a successful surgery on that, but then they found a mass on her, I believe it was her spleen. So she has a mass. They remove the mass from her spleen and tell her, bad news, you have cancer, and you're going to have to undergo aggressive chemo. Even still, we think you have about 15 months to live. So she has to break it to her family, her three children. They take it very hard. She goes in for chemo. She loses her hair. Her skin changes. She's sick all the time. All of these things. And that goes on for a while. And then she goes back for more tests at the doctor. She visits her doctor and they say, great news, you don't have cancer after all. The pathology was wrong. You don't have cancer after all. So, you know, go tell your family you're fine. But now they're still having to pay bills. They're going through the red tape of the bills. And she says, this was like insult to injury.
They don't wipe the medical
debt. No, they didn't do that. And she says this is insult to injury. She underwent chemo a couple of extra times while the doctor knew she still didn't have cancer. And they, instead of calling her to tell her that, they waited for the next appointment. So she's suing. She's trying to sue everybody. I think she should win anything and everything she can. What do you think here, Lisa?
Yeah, you know, the problem is she's in Texas, and they have a cap on non-economic damages of $250,000. So even if the jury thinks that she ought to get millions, she'll be capped. Her non-economic damages will be so in other words, like if she was out $20,000 out of pocket for medical bills, she can get that. Those are her actual, you know, out-of-pocket damages. But then her pain and suffering and all the other stuff that's non-economic capped at $250,000.
So, I don't like that.
Med Mal.
I don't like Med Mal. That's as Med Mal as it gets.
All day.
That's awful.
Yeah,
now.
It's terrible. But, you know, and the poor lady, she, her health is actually ruined.
I mean,
because the chemo just, you know, wreaked havoc on her body because they thought she had this really awful, aggressive, killer form of cancer. They told her she had 12 to 15 months to live and that she could maybe prolong her life to the maximum of that by doing this aggressive chemo. And it turned out that it's a cancer that affects the blood vessels in the spleen.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they on closer inspection, they figured out that her blood vessels in her spleen were just irritated from that tumor that she'd had, that benign tumor.
Mm.
And so it was never cancer. And the doctor, when he told her, he was like, congratulations, you never had cancer. She was like, I'm going to come off this table and kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
That is terrible. Congratulations. Yeah.
That is really, it's terrible.
It's terrible. And that's what, you know, a lot of states have these terrible caps now. And voters, you know, when they're hearing about these people, you know, running these campaigns, they vote for these people. And then when it happens to them, they come into my office and they're like, what? You mean I've got a cap on my damages? What? You know, it's like,
yeah. They voted for that.
Lisa gets to play the Your Chickens Have Come Home to Roost card.
Yeah. God.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
Boy, that's terrible. Did they make those laws because others have taken advantage of the system and sued for millions when they really weren't that badly harmed? Is that why they did that?
You know, that's the propaganda that you hear, but it's actually, I mean, I've done the same. Yeah, I've done tort work for 32 years. Never seen anybody who. The cases are actually so expensive and so time consuming. Lawyers can't afford to take frivolous lawsuits. I mean, it would make no sense. We would lose tens of thousands of dollars.
That's interesting.
If we were trying to pursue loser or, you know, frivolous cases.
Yeah. I think it's more likely that big medicine is leaning on the legislators saying, hey,
that's probably,
cap these
I'm
things.
Sure that's true.
It's the insurance yeah. industry and the medical society.
I'm glad Dave's not here for this. Bad. B.B. Shea doesn't know anything about it, but boy, Dave would be all over this. He don't like insurance one bit.
B.B. Shea lives on the edge.
Yeah, he don't care.
I don't need it.
He's having a donut.
Yes, sir.
What does he care?
You got 15 months left. Great.
Yeah, sounds good. Let's wrap it up.
That's better than
more
I thought. Say, tell B.B. Shea, you have 15 months to live. That's better than I thought. Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. Thank the Lord. I felt like ass this morning.